We're in Luke chapter 21 this morning. I invite you to take your Bible or look up on the screen in Luke chapter 21. We're going to be looking at verses 8 to 38 today. If you were with us last week, Jesus was in the temple teaching. They tried to trap him. They tried to trick him into some sticky questions, but of course, our Lord's powerful response put them back, and they weren't able to trap him. Well, now Jesus is leaving the temple. Peter and James and John asked him three questions. When will the temple be destroyed? What would be the sign of his coming again? And what would be the sign of the end of the age? So the disciples thought that these three events would occur at the same time, but Jesus explained things differently. Actually, the temple was going to be destroyed first, and there would be a long period of time before he returns and establishes his kingdom on the earth. This passage of scripture is called the Olivet Discourse, and it's also recorded in Matthew 24 and 25 and Mark chapter 13. And this message that Jesus addressed in Luke 21 is primarily given to the Jews about the future of the Jewish nation. There's definite applications for the child of God in this age, but the emphasis is on Jerusalem, the Jews, and the temple. So our Lord is not discussing his coming for the church, which is the rapture, and that's given for us in John 14, but also in 1 Thessalonians 4, and also in 1 Corinthians 15. So the Jews require a sign, but the church is looking for the Savior. So most of all, in this message, we're going to find events that are taking place during the Great Tribulation. And then the saints of God are already been taken up to be with Jesus when a lot of these events are going to come. So in Luke 21, I'm going to start reading in verse 7, and we'll go probably read down to verse 28. So they asked him, saying, "Teacher, but when will these things be, and what sign will there be when these things are about to take place?" And he said, "Take heed that you do not be deceived, for many will come in my name, saying, 'I am he,' and the time is drawn near. Therefore, do not go after them. But when you hear of wars and commotions, do not be terrified, for these things must come to pass first, but the end will not come immediately." Then he said to them, "Nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom, and there'll be great earthquakes in various places and famines and pestilences, and there will be fearful sights and great signs from heaven. But before all these things, they will lay their hands on you and persecute you, delivering you up to the synagogues and prisons. You will be brought before kings and rulers for my name's sake. But I will turn out for you as an occasion for testimony. Therefore, settle in your hearts not to meditate beforehand on what you will answer. For I will give you a mouth and wisdom which all your adversaries will not be able to contradict or resist. You will be betrayed even by parents and brothers, relatives and friends, and they will put some of you to death. And you will be hated by all for my name's sake, but not a hair of your head shall be lost. By your patience possess your souls. But when you see Jerusalem surrounded by armies, then know that its desolation is near. Then let those who are in Judea flee to the mountains. Let those who are in the midst of her depart, and let those who are in the country enter her. For these are the days of vengeance, that all things which are written may be fulfilled. But woe to those who are pregnant and those who are nursing babies in those days, for there will be great distress in the land and wrath upon this people. And they will fall by the edge of the sword and led away captive into all nations. And Jerusalem will be trampled by the Gentiles, and the times of the Gentiles are fulfilled. It will be signs in the sun and the moon and the stars and the earth, distress of nation with perplexity, the sea and the waves roaring, men's heart failing them from fear and the expectation of those things which are coming on the earth, with the powers of the heavens will be shaken. Then they will see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. Now when these things begin to happen, look up and lift your heads, because your redemption draws near." Father, we thank you so much for your precious word. I pray that you would help us to understand it. Help us, Father, to see and make applications for our own life. In Jesus' name, amen. Let me remind you, most of the things that are in this chapter of Scripture are happening during the tribulation period. So what you could do is just turn to the book of Revelation and see. Jesus gives kind of the outline of things, but in Revelation it kind of fills in the gaps because of the trumpet judgments, the seal judgments, and the bowl judgments are part of what Jesus is predicting that's going to happen on the earth and the enemies gathering together. So let's look first of all at the signs of his coming that Jesus talked about in verses 8 to 19. Now, the characteristics that he had mentioned really are happening in every age of the church. For from the beginning, there have been counterfeit messiahs, national and international upheavals, religious persecution. But what Jesus is saying, these things are going to increase more and more until the day when the Lord comes back. Thomas Campbell, the British poet and educator, said, "Coming events cast their shadows before," and he was right. The first sign of his coming in verse 8, Jesus mentioned, is false Christs. It seemed like in every age there are those either who claim to be Christ or claim to know when he's going to come back. And these false prophets often use the scriptures and they twist them this way and they twist them that way to fill in their prophecies of when the Lord is going to come or that they are the one. I remember when I was pastoring out in Iowa, I got in the mail, a lot of times pastors get kind of offers in the mail, and I got this book, and it was kind of a paperback book, and it said, 88 Reasons Why Jesus is Coming in 1988. And it even predict the month that he was going to come. And I read that, you know, and things. And then I waited and waited. Of course, you know, I wasn't expecting anything. Well, 1988 came and went. And then I got another book in the mail. 89 Reasons Why Jesus is Coming in 1989. Well, that year went. It seems like for hundreds of years, people have been trying to predict. I remember back in the 1840s, they were predicting Jesus to come back. And the Jehovah's Witnesses predicted when Jesus was going to come. Charles Taze Russell and many of the others. And then also, there have been false Christ, even in our lifetime. I wonder how many there have been over the years, even in the last 50 years. We know some of their names. Jim Jones, who led 900 people to commit suicide by drinking poison Kool-Aid. David Koresh, who had that group of people in Waco, Texas, in that compound who were destroyed. You know, how in the world can we keep from being deceived by these date setters and these false Christs? You know, whenever you go to the airport, you know, if you go through the metal detector and things and they see something on there, you know what they're going to do? Now, this happens to my wife every time. Every time she gets flagged. I don't know, she doesn't look like much of a terrorist to me, but she usually gets flagged. And what they have to do is they have to take her over to the side and they take one of these wands, you know, these little black wands, and then they go over her body and see if anything, you know, goes off or explodes or whatever. And it's some type of a metal detector that you know, God's people need to have that internal metal detector or scam detector or false prophet detector. And the only way that we're going to be able to see and hear and understand if somebody's off is if we know the Word of God. I can't believe how many gullible Christians are out there that are swallowing the latest fad, the latest thing that is not according to God's Word. The more you know the Word, you listen to someone, boom, that beep will go off. Says, no, that's not what God's Word says. That's not, God's Word says, we're not going to know the time when Jesus is coming back. So we need to develop better understanding of the Word and Jesus. When we look at the real person, we'll know who's the wrong person. We need to have that. Another sign of his coming is wars and commotion in verse 9. When you hear of wars and commotions, do not be terrified. These things have to come to pass. The word commotions means instability, disorder and disarray, a time of mass confusion that will cause great fear. Boy, isn't that something today? More than just traditional wars, it refers to terrorist attacks, political upheavals, and that is going to intensify more and more before Jesus Christ returns after the tribulation. We live in dark times. The world is in such a state of insanity, sorrow, and rage that it makes us wonder at the viability of humanity because of its tendency to self-destruct. Right now we've got war in Ukraine, war in Israel, rumored war with China against Taiwan, Hamas and Hezbollah, Iran and Saudi Arabia and Egypt, nuclear weapons, arrogant politicians, mentally incompetent human leaders. It's enough to make your head spin. Wars and commotions, this is going to happen, and it's going to get worse and worse right before Jesus Christ comes again. So Jesus says, don't be surprised when this is happening. You just be careful because it's going to get worse. Also, another sign of his coming is earthquakes, famines, diseases, and signs from heaven in verse 11. Our Lord mentions these four types of disasters and earthquakes, famine, pestilences, and great signs from heaven. Now, these have always been around since Jesus, you know, said, but they're going to get worse right before he comes back. And any study that scientists make of earthquakes will show that the frequency and the magnitude of earthquakes have greatly increased since the year 1900. Famines. There's always been people starving all over the earth, but none more than today. Those of us in America have no idea what it means to going through a real famine. We only have to drive a few miles just to get food. But famines are going to be worse in the end times. Diseases. There's always been all kinds of diseases, and we think that we wipe out one. Guess what? We got another one coming. What about AIDS? What about COVID-19? And we think that we got that one licked, and there's going to be something else. So these diseases will increase more and more. Then there's also going to be signs in the heavens. Now, I don't know what that refers to, but if you look in the book of Revelation, you'll see a lot of supernatural events that are happening, that will be happening during the Great Tribulation. But these are going to be these fearful events, and the great signs from heaven refer to the Great Tribulation, which will precede the return of the Lord to the earth. But there's another sign of his coming, and that's religious persecution, verses 12 through 19. Now, Jesus taught the persecution of believers would be common and severe. As a matter of fact, the disciples themselves, right after Jesus rose from the grave and the gospel began to be preached, it seemed like everywhere the apostles went to try to preach the gospel, they were beaten, they were shamed. And even the government, the Roman government later, really cracked down in the second century after Christ's resurrection. And they got more intense, even feeding Christians to the lion, burning them at the stake. But did that stop the church? No, it didn't stop the church. And Christians have been persecuted down through the centuries. And you know, this 20th and 21st century has seen a great increase in the persecution of believers, literal persecution of believers. I hear we've had our own missionaries come back, like Emmanuel and Hannah Jeberej come back from India. And they reported here in January, and we heard that it's very difficult. The government, which is controlled by the Hindus, have really made it difficult for believers to operate freely. And when they're persecuted, the government just turns away and looks the other way. Persecution gets greater. I had a great opportunity to talk to another one of our missionaries, Gurgis, from West Palm. Of course, he's an Egyptian. His ministry is to Muslims. And he went over to Egypt to preach about a month ago. And he was in a conference with other preachers, and they had there in Egypt, I don't know what city or wherever, and the police came to him and says, sir, we're going to have to protect you. So they were in a motorcade, and the police had to go out in front of the motorcade with these great long poles, kind of like bamboo poles, and to beat away the Muslim protesters that these Christians were going to be meeting together and preaching. And that police officer stood right by Gurgis' side. As a matter of fact, when they preached the gospel, Gurgis told me 2,500 Egyptians came to faith in Christ in the middle of all that. I couldn't believe that. It's amazing. And the police officer that was talking to him leading the protection squad, after the meeting was over and many got on their knees and confessed Christ, the police officer went to Gurgis and said, sir, I need you to come with me. And he took him upstairs in an open room, in a room by himself, and he shut the door and he locked it. And I don't know about you, but I'd be sweating profusely at this time. And Gurgis says he didn't know what was going on. And the police officer said, I want you to talk to me about what those people did on there. And the police officer got on his knees and accepted Jesus Christ as their Savior. It's truly amazing. But see, we don't have that kind of persecution here yet. But every age of believers, the persecution is going to get worse and worse. Americans need to get ready for it because it will be even here in this blessed country. You know, Jesus even told there's five blessings that come from suffering. Number one, suffering gives you an opportunity to be identified with Christ. It separates the sheep from the goats. When there's persecution, there might be less people attending church, but you'll know which ones are the true people. Number two, suffering provides an opportunity to witness for Christ. Suffering will provide us an opportunity to experience an unusual manifestation of the presence of God. Boy, I tell you, when you are persecuted, God shows up and protects his people. Also, suffering provides you with an opportunity to be thankful that we have heaven to go to. You know, they can do anything they want to this body. They can beat us. They can even take our lives, but they can't take our ticket to heaven, our presence with the Lord. And Jesus also said, suffering provides you with an opportunity to experience victory in your Christian life. Signs of his coming. In verse 20 to 24, Jesus talks about the destruction of Jerusalem. Let me read verse 20. But when you see Jerusalem surrounded by armies, then know that its desolation is near. I wonder if Jerusalem is surrounded by armies today. To the north, to the south, they definitely are surrounded. You look at Israel. They're the only democracy in that old Middle East. And they're surrounded by people that hate them, that think that killing a Jew is honoring God. And that's why they can behead babies, and that's why they could do all this, because they don't consider them worthy to live. They're surrounded by their enemies. But Jesus predicted the destruction of the temple. Luke's account refers not to a distant event during the tribulation, but also a fact that the temple would be destroyed within 40 years. And it was. The temple was destroyed by Titus and the Roman army in AD 70, just 40 years from that time. And this is kind of a dress rehearsal for what will happen when Satan vents his anger on Israel and believing Gentiles during the last half of the tribulation. The Jewish historian Josephus claimed that nearly a million people were killed by the Romans in AD 70 and over 100,000 taken captive when Titus captured the city. So its city will be surrounded by his enemies, and that is going to happen. And right now, I see it happening, but it will be during the tribulation period. There's going to be everyone aiming its guns right at Jerusalem. And also, the Bible talks about being trampled by the Gentiles. Gentile domination would continue until the times of the Gentiles are fulfilled in verse 24. The times of the Gentiles' domination of Jerusalem actually began when the Babylonians took the city in 586 BC. Jerusalem will fall under Gentile domination during the tribulation period in Zechariah chapter 14, just before the Messiah returns to restore Jerusalem. It's that restoration of which Jesus spoke next. So, let's look at the third part of this passage of Scripture, verses 25 to 36, and that is the second coming of Christ. First of all, let me read verse 25. And there will be signs in the sun, in the moon, and in the stars, and on the earth, distress of nations with perplexity, the sea and the waves roaring, men's hearts failing them from fear and the expectation of those things which are coming on the earth, for the powers of the heavens shall be shaken. That's the book of Revelation right there. That's towards the end of the book of Revelation when things are getting so that people are about ready to destroy themselves, nations rising against nation, wars, supernatural judgments from heaven, signs, and all of this is going to happen and right before the Lord comes. So the powers of heaven will be shaken. These awesome signs will bring terror to the lost people of the world. If you read some of the things in the book of Revelation, it's just like Egypt, the plagues that God put out upon Egypt. They're going to be 10 times worse in the book of Revelation. The earth is going to be consumed with fear and terror like it has never been upon the face of the earth. But for those believers, know that the Lord's coming will be soon. Believers. Now, this is, of course, we see in verse 27. Then they will see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. In other words, Jesus is coming back to this earth. The Bible says in the Old Testament that his feet will stand on the Mount of Olives. Remember something about the Mount of Olives? That's where he ascended from in Acts chapter 1. He ascended from the Mount of Olives, and he is going to come back down to this earth. And every eye, as the scripture said, will see him coming in the clouds to this earth. This is the second coming. Now, if you've been here long enough, you understand, I teach that believers are going to be raptured out 7 years before the second coming. So we are not going to be on this earth when Jesus comes. We're going to be joining him, coming in the clouds with him to set up his kingdom on this earth. So the Son of Man is coming with power and great glory, and a word from his mouth will destroy the enemies, and the Lord will begin to set up his kingdom on the earth. Now let's look at the fig tree in verse 29. Then he spoke to them a parable. Look at the fig tree and all the trees. When they are already budding, you see and know for yourselves that summer is now near. So you also, when you see these things happening, know that the kingdom of God is near. Assuredly, I say to you, this generation will by no means pass away till all things take place. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will by no means pass away. Let me look at the fig tree, first of all. The fig tree has generally been a symbol of the nation of Israel. Israel, if you know history, was scattered throughout the world. There was no nation of Israel for centuries, for centuries. Then after the Holocaust, during World War II, the United Nations got together and decided that they need to provide a homeland for the Jewish nation. So in 1948, May 15th, 1948, Israel became alive again. I believe that is a fulfillment of prophecy. Then after the Six-Day War in June of 1967, Israel gained control over Jerusalem. On December 6, 2017, a prophetic fulfillment took place when President Trump declared Jerusalem the capital city of Israel, recognizing it as an independent nation, recognizing Jerusalem was the capital. So I believe looking at the fig tree, meaning looking at the nation of Israel, is telling us what is going on. So keep your eyes on Jerusalem, especially what's going on in the nation of Israel, because they are the fig tree that is getting ready for the end times. What about that phrase? Jesus said, "This generation shall not pass till we see the fulfilling of those things." Boy, people have really put out all kinds of speculation. I think that's one of the reasons why they felt that Jesus would come in 1988. That one guy, wasn't it his name? I can't remember his name, but he said because generation, he figured, was 40 years. 1948, Israel became a state. Add 40, 1988, definitely got to come in 88. Well, he was wrong. And a lot of people are speculating what that means. Some people feel that the generation Jesus was talking about was the generation was alive when he was speaking to them. And they think that, well, it happened when Jerusalem was destroyed 70 years. So Jesus in 30 or so, 40, that's 70, AD 70. So they think that that's when he would come back. Well, the Holy Spirit came, but Jesus hasn't come back yet. As a matter of fact, Jesus predicted he would send his Spirit. But he also says, "I will return. I will come back." So, and these other signs have not happened in AD 70. So what does it mean, this generation shall not pass till all these things shall? Jesus was probably referring to the generation that would be alive on the earth when a lot of these signs were taking place. During the tribulation, this generation. He didn't say it has to be 40 years before. No, the people that are alive during the tribulation, they were the ones that were going to see the Son of Man coming. He was not suggesting that it would take a whole generation to accomplish these things, for they will occur with swiftness once they begin. And then Jesus warned to be watchful in verse 34. "But to take heed to yourselves, lest your hearts be weighed down with carousing and drunkenness and the cares of this life, and that day come on you unexpectedly, for it will come as a snare on all those who dwell on the face of the whole earth. Watch, therefore, and pray, always, that you may be counted worthy to escape all these things that will come to pass and stand before the Son of Man." He was speaking of the Jewish nation, of course. We who know Jesus Christ as Savior are part of the church. Another passage of Scripture says it's going to happen in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, when the Lord Jesus Christ comes for his church. And all of these things are for the church ahead of us, but Jesus could come at any moment. I remember when I was about second and third grade, I lived in southern Indiana. We lived out in the country. And I had to ride a school bus every day to school. And we lived in southern Indiana in a lot of hills and valleys there. I remember every morning, Mom would wake me up, and she would pack my lunchbox. I had one of those yellow Mickey Mouse school bus lunchbox. Remember? I wish I would have that today. I'd have some money. But she would pack my peanut butter and jelly sandwich and some Twinkies or something else in the lunchbox. And I would wash my hands and face and even wash behind my ears getting ready for school. And then there was this little step stool. I was even shorter back then, so I had to get up on the step stool and look out the kitchen window, down the lane, down the road, at a crest of a hill. And I kept my eyes on the crest of the hill because when I seen the yellow school bus get to the top, that was my sign. Gotta get my coat on. I gotta run down to the end of the lane and catch my bus. Because you don't want to miss the bus. Jesus one day is coming, church. He's coming to pick you up and take you to his heavenly home. I hope that you know him as your Savior. Because if you don't know him as Savior, you're going to miss the bus. He is going to be in heaven, and you're going to be left behind to go through that horrible, terrible tribulation period that Jesus talked about in the book of Revelation. All you need to do is believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you'll be saved. Let's pray. Father in heaven, I come in your presence this morning and thank you for these words of watchfulness. I pray that we, as believers in Christ, would make sure we're ready. Make sure that our hearts are clean before our Lord. Make sure that our sins have been confessed before. And make sure that we're doing everything we can to live our lives in the light. But Father, I pray for that one person who may be here today and they're not sure if they're ready to go. Oh God, speak to that heart. Give them courage to talk to me or call out to you in faith, believing in the Savior. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand together as we sing.